Hello and welcome to Check It Out Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two indie games and tell you what we like about them. I'm Nick Glauber.
And I am Gary Butterfield.
This week we're doing Boring Man and Paranautical Activity. So let's jump right into Boring Man. So Boring Man, you've probably never heard of. It's one of a series of super indie games that we're going to be doing for the next couple episodes. It was made by a friend of mine whose name is Kevin DeGrosse. And goes by Spazman Online, Spazman Games. And it is a 2D stickman deathmatch platformer that is currently in development. Some demo releases out right now, with a much larger release coming out very soon that Gary and I got a little bit of a preview of.
Mm-hmm.
And Gary, why don't you go ahead and tell me what you like about Boring Man?
Lest you think that we are just being nepotistic by talking about somebody who we know, it's actually a very cool game.
Yeah.
Which we would have talked about anyway. Just throwing that out there, if anybody's working on anything, if you want to throw us something to check out, we'll probably check it out. We won't necessarily do it on the show, but all comers are welcome. Yeah. So this is really no different than that. Boring Man is fun because it is super kinetic. The controls remind me a little bit of an N plus kind of thing. You have a lot of different moves.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Volgar the Viking or Guacamelee roll dodge and double jump and wall jump and stuff. And then a ridiculous number of weapons.
Yeah.
That behave in different ways and kind of have, little jokey bits about them. And it's just super fast action. It's really impressive that one dude did this and that it, it's got very simplistic looks, but plays really well. And is very fun. If you are into a competitive deathmatch kind of thing, it is a nice alternative to your Counter Strikes and the like.
Yeah, it's neat too because he does have a lot of the competitive stylings in there. You have to reload. You can hear people stepping towards you. It's not just pure mayhem, but on top of it, there's just all these crazy weapons that you unlock that do all sorts of cool, interesting stuff. Everything is really different. There's nades that will freeze people in place and melt them, and guns that are just all over the place.
Is nades a slang term that's established, or is that something that what is that from?
I don't know. Nades are definitely established.
They're just tossing nades, neatens off.
Sorry, I actually do play Counter Strike.
Sods cast, recording sods of casts.
Sorry. I wasn't aware that wasn't in the general lexicon.
I knew what you meant. I just so any stinners out there who have heard about nades, you let us know. But there's a big variety, I guess, is the point.
Yeah.
When we say the mode that we spent the most time with and we played individually against bots and then against each other, was kind of capture the flag.
Yeah.
And it really reminds me, of a 2D old school Team Fortress kind of thing. Without different classes, more your weapon kind of defines your role.
Yeah, your loadout definitely defines your role. It's inspired a lot by Soldat, which I know you haven't played, but it's kind of got this little online community still. It was made by this one Polish developer and has been around for probably 10 years now. And it's very similar to that, with a mouse aim, keyboard movement, platformer that's all about deathmatch and stuff. But this takes it a step further with all these crazy weapons and tactical stylings that make it a lot more engaging than Soldat used to be.
Mm-hmm. And there's a good variety to the maps. When we played, the second map we played was this kind of Egyptian-themed level, and I kept trying to get... There's a pyramid in the center, which is fun from a tactical perspective because you can get on top of it and kind of,
snipe your way around, yeah.
Yeah, but the inside at the top of the pyramid, there was some kind of hidden item. I couldn't get to it because there are also traps guarding it, which makes sense for it being a pyramid. I like that idea. But there's hidden, you can tell that there's kind of room for little Easter eggs and things like that in there, which is really cool. And it's an evolving thing, so it's something that he's still working on, very much a work in progress, and things will continue to be added to it. So we played an older build of it, and this one is already significantly more polished and cooler than that.
Yeah.
So
on top of Deathmatch, on top of Capture the Flag, there is Deathmatch and some other game modes. One is a zombie horde game mode, and he's working on some callbacks to Soldat and custom maps in TF2 and stuff that are jump maps, where the whole point of the game is to try and get from one end to the other with a whole bunch of stuff in your way. And the one I saw him working on is just, like, ridiculously mean. It's like spike yeah. traps all over every wall, and then right as you're about to, like, get to it and you think you're completely safe, turns out there's a sniper just off screen who's shooting at you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's mean. Yep. It's real mean.
Yeah. it does the thing, though, since it's mean, like, the respawn time's really short, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no little consequence for losing. It reminds me, when we were playing it, when you played two players, a little bit of just of Nidhogg, because you're kind of doing a tug of war. Not literally like you are in that game so much. I mean, I guess that's not literally, but not as closely related to tug right. of war, but you are trying to gain ground over a central location.
Yeah, like, it's not easy to capture flags in this game at all.
Yeah.
You have to, as a team, like, really fight for the middle, like you're saying. So I definitely see that as well.
Yeah, and it's a 4-on-4, right?
I think it can be more than that. I had, when we were playing, I had 3 bots on either of our teams, but I'm pretty sure it supports 8-on-8 or 6-on-6. I'm not sure where he's at. There's kind of a limitation to Game Maker's netcode, which, by the way, this game is made in Game Maker and is very impressive for that. That tool is not easy to work with.
Yeah. Like Game Maker is the program if you want your characters to immediately become paralyzed whenever they touch anything. That's Game Maker. Like, that's, and this, you know, it does not do that. Like, it's actually the coding and stuff seems really rock solid.
Yeah.
And the weapons you get when you level up and you get random weapons that you can add to your loadout, which is a shooter kind of trope now, but it's still impressive to see it implemented.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of little, like, fun personality things too. Like, all the bots get, kind of a fake, names and fake contributions to a conversation. There's kind of a chat window that's going on all the time that is largely made up of kind of humorous and otherwise little asides, humorous or surreal.
Yeah.
Little asides.
Bots will have responses to getting a new gun or dying and just fill the chat up with lots of humorous little blurbs.
Yeah. It's very neat. Where can people get these demo builds?
So the game you can get at kdegrosse.com, which is kdegrosse.com. And if you want specifically to jump straight to Boring Man, there is /Boring Man. And just a quick aside, the name Boring Man, being friends with Kevin, I want to make mention that the name comes from basically one of his very first games he ever made in Game Maker, which was a simple stick figure platformer that had guns that happened to be called Boring Man. And he made like 5 of these games and kind of over the time improved his Game Maker skills. They were all single player games. They were all just these like cheesy little stick figures. And then he decided he was going to just show off how far he's come pretty much with this game. So it's still stick figures. It's still called Boring Man, but everything else is just beeps and bounds better than anything he ever produced way back then. So it's a cool little evolution. He actually posted on the Game Maker subreddit, I think, a like timeline showing each of the games and like the progress that has happened through all of them. It took like, I don't know, 5-year break between the last one and making this one. So it's a pretty cool little evolution of his game making abilities.
Yeah, there's a lot of care that goes into it. So the work he's putting into it really shows.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely worth checking out. And you know, if it ever does cruise towards a commercial release or anything, it's well worth your support because it's neat. And not just because I think I've met this guy. I think I've met Kevin. But I don't. You know, we're not like I'm not. You know, Nick's buddies with him. I don't have anything against the guy. I'm backing myself into a corner. I'm just saying that this is not like a paid advertisement.
Yeah, you met him offhandedly at a one-off RPG we did. So
yeah, it's not a. I have no vested interest in. You know,
the blowing smoke up his ass. Anything,
yeah, that's my point, is that it's a honest recommendation. So.
Yeah, I have much more at stake there, but I also think it's a very good game and well worth your time. So once again, it is kdegrosse.com, and there you can check out Boring Man and some of the other little stuff he's done. Nothing's been quite this extravagant, but some of his other stuff is pretty cool to check out too. So
it's like a thought puzzle. Like, you come into a room, Boring Man is in the middle of it, Gary's at one end and has no vested interest in promoting it. Nick is at the other. You can ask one question. And
like, that would be very hard.
Yeah. But yeah, that is how you solve that puzzle. Speaking of games that are not puzzle games.
Good segue.
The next thing we're doing is Paranautical Activity, which is by Code Avarice. which is a super small development team, possibly like primarily one dude.
Yeah, I think it's one or two people pretty much.
Yeah, so. Mike Malbec's name is all over this. This is a game that was kickstarted back in September and just kind of came out in the winter, and is due right the day before this episode comes out. It's supposed to have an update. Yeah. We don't know that for sure is going to happen, but it is a rare example of us being timely because we work so far in advance.
Yeah, so. Sure. Due to some terrible mistakes on my end. But, yes.
Yeah, so, no, I mean, not even that. Like, just because we record them in batches.
Yeah. So the next update that's coming out, which is going to be really cool, is going to add co-op support. So, what is Paranautical Activity, Gary?
Paranautical Activity is Binding of Isaac by way of Doom.
Yeah.
So if you know us, we talked about it before, we're eagerly awaiting Rebirth. Like, we're both huge fans of Isaac. And it's that formula, the kind of, you know, you do not know what your character will look like in the end, that part of a roguelike. And you're going to get random upgrades that are all going to change the way you play drastically, crossed with Doom. So each room in say, in Isaac is actually like a little Doom arena. So imagine like the part in Doom where you grab the key and 1,000 cyber demons pop out of the walls and you can grab one invincibility sphere and ask one question like that, that room, just kind of over and over.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's super fun. Like it calls back to old FPSs where you move at the speed of light and
there's high.
Yeah, you jump crazy high. It's like really, really fast paced.
Yeah, for sure.
Much more fast paced than Isaac is. Like you know, you're much more kind of adrenalizing and everything about that kind of game kind of supports that. Like the soundtrack and the kind of kinesthetics of it.
Yeah, it's really really twitchy, really like explosions everywhere, and when you get the right weapons, at least,
mm-hmm.
Especially if you start with the guy who can just throw bombs everywhere.
Yeah, that is by far the guy I'm the most.
Which is our class, yeah.
Yeah. Who was I was talking to somebody on Steam though, who has a terrible time with him and is really good with the shotgun guy, who like I have had okay success with, but is way too slow for me. Like I end up dying in later levels.
Yeah,
but he had really
I
good success with that.
I can't deal with him as much, especially if you get that spider boss on floor 1.
Yeah, and
I need bombs.
I met a guy who could work with the guy who throws the... I haven't met anyone who's good with the crossbow yet, but who can throw the sickle, which I had a really hard time with the sickle-throwing guy.
I didn't do too bad with the sickle. Yeah. I kind of got used to it in one run that I did pretty decent with it, but still nowhere near the success I've gotten with the bombs.
Yeah, but, bomb guy's kind of easy mode.
But even so, like... Even with bombs, even with like really good upgrades, this game is brutally difficult.
Yeah, it's really hard, and you're supposed to just kind of. It doesn't have so it's not exactly like Isaac, and it doesn't make some of the design decisions Isaac does that really make Isaac so special. So it doesn't, you know, when you die in this game, you haven't done something to make future games easier.
Right.
Which is what Isaac does. That's so great is that like, oh, I've unlocked this item. I now have a chance of getting it. Almost like Dominion, like the way you build a Dominion deck, and it's like, oh, I have a chance of getting this really powerful card.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting to a certain level in Isaac means I have a chance of doing this thing. It doesn't have that. So the games tend to be short and pretty brutal. And you just want to get as far into it as you can. The games have, or Rogue Legacy does that really well, where the games,
yeah.
Your failures contribute to future successes. This game does not do that at all. Your failures are just failures. Your successes are just successes, much like a actual old school rogue game.
Right. But you still can. Yeah. Much like old school rogue games, you can get a really good run where you just got all the perfect random items to appear,
mm-hmm.
and succeed way further than you have before. But there's no kind of building on past experiences, except for the like knowledge gain.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. That's the big part that it does take from rogues.
Yes.
Is like knowing how enemies behave and knowing what items do and stuff, how they interact.
Yeah, it does take the idea from Isaac too, where you just, well, I mean, this is an old roguelike trope as well, but the items don't tell you what they do just when they're on the map. You have to pick them up, which may be a deficit. Like sometimes an item will drastically change the way something works and will actually put you in a bad position based on who you're playing as or how you've been playing up to that point.
Yep. And the even when they do tell you what they do, sometimes it's kind of an oblique line. Sometimes
yeah.
It tells you directly, sometimes it's just kind of a hint. Like a good example of that was I picked up, there's a coin, which I thought was going to be a money-related item, but it actually lets you pay for items in shops using health, which is ordinarily pretty good if you can get... you know, if you're doing well on health. But then I immediately got an item that got me more money drops, which was all then useless. yeah. So it's just like, oh, the second thing is no good, and this first thing is going to kill me if I want to use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The same way you can get a really good item combination, you can accidentally get a really bad one.
Yep, and you just have to roll with it. Like, it's so such a small penalty for failure. I think the longest I played this game, like, getting, I think the sixth floor is my as far as I've gotten, and that took like a half hour.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, it is probably even shorter than that.
I think I've gotten maybe three or four floors in, and that took all of 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, so. It's a real quick play. It needs a little work, I think. Like, it's not, and I'm glad it's an evolving project, which is going to be really, you know, that's going to come up with a lot of games we do for the show. Because I think it needs some difficulty balancing. Like, you know, I'm going to sound like a giant pussy, like saying something is too hard, but you get to the point in the fifth and sixth floors where there are enemies that if you have certain things happen on the first or second floor, you cannot avoid. You know, like there are enemies like that, you know, who just kind of kamikaze run into you really quickly. Your invincibility period is not long enough to get away from them. And they will just, you know, chew down your health incredibly rapidly. And if you have one speed down thing, you're pretty much doomed.
Yeah.
And there are bosses that are very difficult with that.
Yeah, there's some floor level layouts that are similarly really hard. Mm-hmm. I think around level 3, you can start to get the one that the floor is entirely lava and you have just a cross of very small paths between all the doorways that are on every side of the room. And right in the middle is a cyber demon who's just staring you down and shooting at you the whole time.
Yep. So if you have double jumps, you can jump from platform to platform. It's really hard, but you can do it. Or if you have the upgrade that lets you walk on lava. But if you have neither of those things, you're more or less fucked. Like, you just have to suck up some damage until you can kill the guy in the middle. And that's not good. You know, that's not great design. So I think some of that stuff needs to be balanced. And I think Isaac does that pretty well. Like, Isaac takes a look at what you have in certain circumstances and will not, like, you won't get the same thing again. You won't get, like, it's possible to look at you and say, if the player has speed downs, don't spawn this enemy. Or if the player doesn't have double jump, don't spawn this floor. Right. You know, because you can't leave. Like, you can't leave and come back after you get something new. Like, you're just done until you can kill all the enemies. It seems like it's functional, unless he just really wants it to be brutal as hell. You could make it account for those things, or just tone them down, or have them come a little bit later.
Yeah, I think the sort of Dark Souls method of everything can be done at base level, it's just incredibly difficult to do so, is a better way to go about it. Like, it seems like a lot of the things just require you to have good items in order to succeed at them. Having it be beatable at really base level is kind of a required thing to make a game not reliant on upgrades.
Yeah, or make it not, even if it doesn't have to do with upgrades, like, make it your character selection. So if you choose that shotgun character, you can't get away from those, like, monkey things. Just kind of, you know, right out of the gate. So if you don't get a speed upgrade, like, it is, it can really nerf, like, character, not nerf, but kind of ruin character selections as well, which is frustrating. But it's also tons of fun to play. So it's like, I want them to get better with it. And not just, like, I'm really looking forward to co-op in it. But even before co-op, like, it's a really short game. I said, you know, most games last 5 to 10 minutes, and I put like 5 hours into it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a really fun game. But it needs a little bit of work, which I'm glad Mike's working on it.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, it's not like they've released this and thrown it by the wayside. The co-op update has kind of shoveled other balances and tweaks to the side, but they've been patching this for, you know, over 6 months after release. They had been releasing balance tweaks and stuff, and kind of co-op just rose to the top of the list, and they decided to work on that, get that out before heading back to making balance a major issue.
And the cool thing about balance too is, like, they're working on balance, but they're also just looking to add more stuff. I got in after a major patch that added like another 20 items or so, and anyone who's a fan of Isaac knows that's, you know, most of the fun is, like, you get to discover new all these stuff. New toys, how they interact. And this has the item interactions that Isaac has as well, which is a huge benefit. We should talk a little bit about how it looks, too, just to remiss, because it's got a real striking kind of visual style.
Yeah, it does have this neat voxel-based style to it. It makes everything look really pixelated and stuff, but surrounded with, like, really dynamic light and really dark rooms.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it super striking. You know, people are going to say, you know, scream Minecraft when they see it, but it definitely has a totally its own visual style that just kind of has the same sort of blockiness that you expect from Minecraft.
Yeah, it looks less like Minecraft than Eldritch did. You know, it is less of that. Like, seeing it in motion is totally different than seeing it statically. It looks more like 3D game Dot Heroes, like a violent, bloody demon-based version of that.
Yeah, so. Lots of pixel blood cubes everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I love this game, and it's really cheap. I think it's like $10 when it's on sale, and it's been on sale a couple times since I got it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so this is super fun, especially if you like Isaac or if you like Doom. It is super, 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 super hard. So you have to have a little patience.
I think it was just in a Humble Bundle.
Oh, you're right.
The Humble Roguelike Bundle. So I bet you a lot of people have this game and may not have even checked it out because they were checking out some of the more, you know, popular titles in that pack. But if you haven't checked this one out and you happen to have it, which I know I'm cursed with constantly, having games and never looking at them, definitely give this one a try. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I agree. That's a fun, like in the way that games now are practically free, that is like a thing. Like, I spent some time in Portland, we got snowed in and my work closed down for a couple days, because of an ice storm. And I was just like, oh, I have some free time for the first time in a really long time. And just like went through some indie games that I hadn't played because I realized I'm just amassing them at this ridiculous rate, that I'll never keep up with, where I can put some, you know, meaningful time into them. So kind of knowing where to start with that stuff, when I have, like, right now I can look at my Steam list and see, you know, 40 games I haven't touched, and knowing kind of where to start. So this is a good place to start.
Yeah, we just had a listener suggestion on Facebook, and I was like, oh, hey, I actually own that game and have not played it yet. So I'll definitely give that a try and see if we want to put it in an episode.
Mm-hmm. No spoiler section for this. These are both plot light games.
Yeah.
There may be more plot to Paranautical Activity, but fuck if I can get to the end of it.
yeah.
It doesn't look like it, though. It's like it's underwater Nazis is who you're fighting. Like, the underwater scene came from the fact that, like, the name of the pun of the name, the pun of the name, and that's it.
Right.
So I would be really surprised if there is even, you know, Isaac levels of depth, you know, to any degree in kind of that stuff. But, you know, maybe we could be wrong. Like, we'll get to the end and find out, you know, who your actual character is and what anything is.
And it is still considered early access by the developers, so it's possible that that's up and coming in some future release. So
I would also be okay if they didn't do that too, though. Like, I'm fine, go to the bottom of the sea and kill sea Nazis. Like,
that's what I just want to kill me. Hitler at the end.
Yeah, there's probably some kind of Hitler thing at the end. But
Hitler with a bunch of upgrades, and then...
Yeah, he's probably a specific upgrade. So, like, the named bosses tend to have a specific upgrade for them.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he drops the Third Reich.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The second most powerful Queen's Reich. Anywho, how can people get a hold of us to suggest games and do other things?
Well, we have a Facebook that is checkitoutcomrade, Facebook.com/checkitoutcomrade, and we have a Twitter that is Twitter.com/comradepodcast.
Mm-hmm.
And also there is our home site that is duckfeed.tv/comrade.
Indeed. And yeah, so go check that out. Check out the other shows on the network. Nick has been involved in them, and I do a bunch of them, but, you know, not to spend too much time advertising. If you're here, you probably listen to the shows. But if you don't, check them out.
Yeah.
They're good. Check them out, podcast.
And if you happen to like this show, you can rate and review us on iTunes, which will help other people find us. Mm-hmm. And you can like us and follow us on the Twitter and Facebook that I mentioned, which will also help other people of similar mind check us out.
And if tell your friends in person.
Yeah.
So tell them.
If you have in-person friends.
Yeah, which in this day and age, like, I certainly don't, but if you do, like, just go up to your coworker, and while they're just talking about, I don't know, So You Think You Can Dance, just be like, hey, did you hear about the nades on Check It Out Comrade? And when they go, what? You can just lay out the science for them. Like, first, this is an indie game. Oh, you don't know what a podcast is? Let me back up. And then just like, really lay it out from the beginning.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. I think that's about it
for us, guys. Thanks a lot for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Take care.